read. If you take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, and we'll start reading in a moment in verse 10. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to open the pages of this blessed old book. And we pray that this morning, through the preaching of your word, you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand. Lord, help us to come to grips with the fact that, yes, you are coming soon. And we need to be ready. And so, Father, speak to us as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One time, a preacher at a church asked the congregation this question: how many here today want to go to heaven? And instantly, every hand in the house went up, except one elderly man sitting off in the corner. And so the preacher asked him, he said, "Sir, don't you want to go to heaven?" To which the old guy replied, "Oh, yes. But I thought you were getting up a busload to go now." Well, you'd think that everyone would want to go to heaven when the Lord comes. You'd think that everyone would take the steps to be ready to meet the Lord one day. I remember just a few years ago watching news reports about warnings that went out for thousands of people living on the Gulf Coast about a coming hurricane. And those reports showed many people preparing by boarding up their homes and purchasing supplies and making evacuations. But there were some folks who did not take seriously the warnings and chose to go on as if nothing would happen. And they're like the many people who choose to disregard God's warning in the Bible. And yet the warning is very plain in the Scriptures. And we, as God's people, need to get the word of warning out to the world. And so if you have your Bibles open to Revelation 22, we're going to read verses 10 through 21 as we see God's final warning. Beginning in verse 10, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. So here we have God's final warning. And it consists of several very important points. The first one is this: the time is near. Verse 10 says, the time is at hand. That is, it's near. But what's near? Well, the answer is the fulfillment of the prophecy of this book. All that is written about future events is near. What the Bible says about the Lord's coming is near. As a matter of fact, I believe it's nearer than we think. It's closer than we realize. The time is at hand. It is near. Now, we can't say for certain that we have 5 years or 10 years. We can't say for certain even if we have 1 year. For that matter, we may not even have another week. But the coming of the Lord Jesus is near. And even if his return is still a long distance away, that doesn't mean that death is a long distance away. And he may wait to come for you at a ripe old age, or he may come for you at middle age, or he may come for you in your 20s or 30s, or while you're in your teenage years. See, no one has the certainty of living a long time upon this earth. We can leave this earth as a youngster just as well as being an older person. James tells us in James 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And in Proverbs 27, 1, we're told, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God can come in the early hours of your life as well as the late hours of life. And that's God's warning. His coming is near, and that applies to his return to earth, and it applies to death, because we don't know when either one of those things will take place. Now, there's a second warning in this chapter as well, and it's this: Jesus is coming quickly, quickly. This describes the how of Jesus' coming. His coming is near. That describes the when. His coming is quickly. That describes the how of his coming. You notice here, if you go back to verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And verse 20, surely I come quickly. That's also stated by the Lord in chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. And when Jesus says, I come quickly, he means that when he starts to come, it'll be all over before anyone has a chance to change their minds. It also speaks of the thoroughness of his coming. Jesus won't start to come and then change his mind. In Matthew 24, 27, the Bible says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Some folks foolishly think that somehow they will be warned prior to the coming of the Lord, and then they'll make preparation. But it doesn't work that way. And that's why Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. When Jesus comes, it'll be all over. It won't be like looking on the television and seeing the storm coming. You know, people watch the TV news and they begin to prepare for that hurricane or prepare for the possible tornadoes. But when Jesus comes, he will come and be gone before a person can bat an eye. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It'll be that quick. Matthew 24, 27 makes it plain. It's going to be like a strike of lightning. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And of course, this describes the unexpected return of the Lord Jesus. In the day when you think he won't come, that's when he will come. And so the warning is that the coming of Jesus is near, and the way he comes will be very quick and final. The warning is this: his coming is near, and his coming is swift and complete. But then there's also another warning in this chapter, and it's this: his coming will not wait on your preparation. Look at verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." See, his coming will not wait on your preparation, because there is a deadline for getting ready for Jesus. And that deadline will not be on the other side. It's not on the other side of life. It's on this side of life. It's on this side of the grave. It's on this side of his second coming. Some people think, "Oh, Jesus can't come now. I'm not ready. My loved ones are not ready. My life is a mess. Jesus just can't come now." We got to have revival first before Jesus comes. People have to get serious with their relationship with God. But that's wrong. The truth is, and it's a warning to us, don't expect great changes before Jesus comes back. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't change before the Lord comes, or before they go out to meet him after this life. As a matter of fact, they should change. Everybody needs to repent and believe the gospel. But the warning is this: don't put faith in a special moment out there when everyone is going to turn around and everything will be okay just before Jesus comes back. And don't believe the lie that only those, you know, quote, bad, wicked people will be caught without a prayer. For the most part, people will die very much the way they lived. Now, there are exceptions, but those are rare exceptions. And really, the only case in the Bible that I could think of that would be an exception to that rule would be the thief on the cross as a last-moment conversion. He lived as a thief, but he died with the righteousness of Christ. But that guy just got in by the skin of his teeth. And that's very rare. That's very rare. Yes, there are those who will come to the Lord just a few minutes before their death. But that is extremely rare. Extremely rare. And so it's a warning. Don't put faith in something dramatically changing your heart at the very last moment. Because verse 11 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still." The one who is doing wrong will still do wrong. The one who is filthy will still be filthy. The way you live is the way you die. And of course, it's also true that the one who is righteous will keep on practicing righteousness, and the one who is holy will keep on living holy. Again, the way you live is the way you die. You'll live without Jesus, and you'll die without Jesus. Now, we praise God for his grace, and we praise God that, you know, that at the 11th hour of life, a person can surrender to Jesus. But the warning is this: don't count on that for your salvation. Don't count on that for your salvation. In the vast, vast majority of cases, if you live out of God's will, you'll die out of God's will. If you live a selfish life, you'll die a selfish person. But the flip side is true also. If you live for Jesus, you'll die with Jesus. If you live with Christ in your heart, you'll die with Christ in your heart. But the truth is that once Jesus comes, or once you die, then it's too late to change. Then it's too late to change. So the warning is this. Don't wait for Jesus to come to do something about your life. The time to do something is now. Don't think God will flash a neon sign across the heavens that reads, "I'm coming tomorrow, get ready." Because the reality is, ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. And you have to prepare for that event ahead of time. Ahead of time. So we have God's final warning. His coming is near. That is, it could be at any moment of any time. We don't know. His coming will be quickly. It's going to be sudden. Third, his coming will not wait on your preparation. Today is the day to get right with God. Tomorrow could be too late. And then the fourth warning. Jesus is coming for possessors, not professors. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You know, many profess to be a follower of Jesus, but they do not possess the life of Jesus. Outwardly, they make a good pretense at being saved, but they do not possess Jesus in their heart. They're phonies, right? They've never repented of their sins, and they have never trusted in Christ. You'll notice verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments. Notice that word do. There are folks who claim to believe in Jesus, but don't have any indication, any proof, any evidence that they love Jesus. They're not doers of what Jesus says. They're only pretenders. They give lip service to Jesus, but there's no heart service. They put on a good front before others, but they don't have a desire to follow Jesus. You know, when it says here, blessed are they that do his commandments, it means the folks who put God's word into practice. And this is not about earning heaven by our own goodness or by living right. But if we have a relationship with Jesus, obedience to his word is an outgrowth of that. It's evidence of that. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we allow Jesus to live his life through us. If you look back at verse 7 here, you'll notice at the end of the verse, it says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so the warning is clear. Jesus is coming for those who are truly born again. And one of the signs that you're born again is that there is a commitment to follow Jesus. You follow Jesus, you follow his teachings, you obey his commandments. And when you do sin, you confess your sin before the Lord and experience his forgiveness. And then you get up and you go on and you continue to follow Jesus. And this teaching is overlooked in many churches. After we come to Christ, we are then to follow Christ. Nowhere in the scriptures does it teach that you can come and ask Jesus to be your Savior and then go out and live as you please and do as you please and live in disobedience to the Lord. That is a contradiction in terms. I want you to remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 27, verses 21 to 23. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, this verse is not teaching us that there will be this straight line of perfection for a child of God, because we know that we're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But the evidence of a true child of God's life will be the fruits of Christ's likeness. There will be the fruits of obedience. You know, I hear people say sometimes, well, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of a church. Well, I'm glad you're part of a church, but that in itself is not the evidence of a Christian. The evidence is whether or not there is a real desire to follow Jesus that has been put in there by the Holy Spirit. Do you desire to be with God's people on Sunday and when God's people meet for worship? Is there a desire to lift up Christ in your everyday life? Do you desire to follow Christ? Are you making a sincere effort to follow Jesus by obeying his word? You know, the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Make no mistake, only the real Christians will be leaving when Jesus comes. And that's a warning that is so serious that it should cause everyone to take serious thought about where they stand with God. And so we see the nearness of his coming that we're warned about. There is the quickness of his coming that we're warned about. There is the urgent preparation needed prior to his coming that we're warned about. And there will only be real Christians leaving at his coming that we're warned about. And then here's the fifth warning. Don't change the prophetic message of his coming. Look at verses 18 and 19 again here. For I testify unto every one that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plague that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. See, people try to change it when they disrespect it, when they disregard it, when they don't listen to it, when they ignore it, and when they live indifferently towards it. But in the light of all that we've seen this morning, the question is, where do you stand? Will you line up with what God is saying, or will you walk away today untouched, unmoved, unconcerned, with no evidence of making any commitment whatsoever to live for the Lord Jesus? When it comes to the prophecies, to the words of the Lord Jesus, you can't add to it or change it. You can't take away from it. And the only people who do, who are those who are not willing to allow God's word to change their life. So instead, what they try to do is change the word of God. Many folks have taken mentally, not physically, but many folks have taken mentally a pair of scissors, and they have cut away all that the Bible says that they don't want to hear. And then they take glue and paste, and they insert their personal ideas, the things they think should be in the Bible. And we're living in a society today in which we find a lot of that, where folks pick and choose what they want to believe in the Bible, and then they disregard the part that they choose not to believe. But the warning here is to not change the message of Christ's coming, but instead believe the message of Christ's coming. And then one more, one last final warning, the sixth warning of this chapter, and it's this: don't delay God's invitation. Look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. People delay and reject God's invitation by, first of all, quenching the Spirit. It says the Spirit speaks here. They delay or they reject God's invitation by quenching the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying one clear thing to all the unsaved people in this world, and that one thing is come. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. But then people also reject God's invitation as it's given by the church. Right? The church is the bride of Christ. And the bride does the same thing the Spirit does. The bride really has one main message for the entire world. And it's come. Come to Christ. And so my final question is this. If you've never done so before, will you come to Christ? Will you call out to him and invite him into your heart to be your Savior and Lord? Will you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for forgiveness and for eternal life and for a home in heaven? Will you put your faith and your hope for eternity in him? It's the only way to be ready for his coming. And you need to do it today. Why? Because Jesus is coming quickly. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but at the same time, the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of the times and seasons either. And although his coming could still be years away, the reality is it could be today. And if he did come today, then tomorrow would be too late to get ready. And this is God's final warning in the Bible. And so I'm going to close by reminding you again of verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. My invitation this morning is very, very simple. Come to Christ and be ready for his return. Heed God's final warning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and this final warning that you give the world in your word to help them be ready for your return. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room or anybody who's been watching by way of the internet that has not yet opened up their heart and received Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day. Because tomorrow could be too late. Lord, help them to understand that and help them today to open up their heart and receive Christ in, to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life and to give them the assurance of heaven. Lord, we don't want anybody to miss this. We want everybody to be ready. And so, Lord, help us who have received Christ to be faithful in spreading this warning to the world because everybody needs to hear it. In order to be ready for your return. So, Lord, don't let anybody leave here today without knowing in their heart that Jesus is their Savior, that their sins are gone, they're on the way to heaven, they're ready to meet you. And then help us who are believers to leave here with a fresh challenge upon our heart to go out and share the message of Christ with the world so that others can be ready. We ask you to help us with this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.